Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also 96.5 TIC. We'd like to start by wishing everybody a very happy new year. Maybe some of you can't believe that 2023 is here, but yes, indeed it is here, in fact. And there's something that we got to talk about because it's the New Year's weekend and everybody's excited. Maybe a little bit of a fresh start for 2023. But at the same time, we all know that on New Year's, there is that constant worry on being on the roads with drunk drivers. So we're going to have a guest today from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Bob Gargiulo is the executive director of the New England region, including Connecticut here. Bob, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Morgan, and Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't believe it's 2023, and yet we're still here talking about the same issue that just seems to repeat on and on, impaired driving. How long have you been involved with MAD?
I'm going on my fifth year, but I've been affected by MAD going back to my high school years where I had classmates killed as a result of making the wrong decision and driving impaired. And most recently in 2012, I had some coworkers killed by a drunk driver who entered 95 going the wrong way and hit them as they were out Christmas shopping, so right around this time of year.
Well, that's horrible. And these wrong-way crashes, 85% of which are caused by some kind of intoxication, by alcohol or drugs, usually alcohol, though. Those have been on the rise this year in Connecticut. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, most definitely. And across the country, we've seen a dramatic increase. I mean, rather alarming rates where it's the highest in over a decade. Where, we lost over 11,600 individuals as a result of someone making the wrong decision to drink or drive or drug and drive.
Now, you're in Connecticut and you represent MAD's New England region, but I'm assuming that you're in touch with chapters of MAD that go all over the place, all over the country.
Yes, we have, weekly calls of leadership all over the country, including Puerto Rico, and, you know, it's similar. We're hearing the same stories. As you mentioned, Connecticut, is one of the leaders, unfortunately, of having the highest percentage of fatal crashes involving impairment. I believe we're probably top three this past year, and those are statistics presented to us by NHTSA, National Highway Safety Administration. So, it's alarming. The typical question I'm asked by media is why? Why do you think? And I don't have an answer for that. And honestly, there's two other states in New England that are also in the top 10. So there's a reason for it. I can't put my finger on it. You know, it's just that everybody needs to make the right decision. And I want to start this by saying that MAD has never been against alcohol or the consumption of alcohol if you are 21 and older. We are only fighting people that drink and then drive, whether it's a motor vehicle or even during summer months here in New England area, boats. Tragedy is happening each and every day. We're losing, every 45 minutes someone's killed by an impaired driver. I mean, I don't understand why it's continuing to go higher when there's more education out there. There's ride share opportunities. People just feel, I believe this is a right of their right to grow up and drink and drive. It's just not the way it should be. I mean, children are losing their lives as a result of this. Parents are losing their lives, moms and dads, and so on and so forth.
So what's the data telling us? That it's going up every year or every few years, or has it been steady, the number of drunk drivers who are caught, cause crashes, and so on?
It's actually gone down. Prior to the pandemic, it had gone down, 40 years ago when MAD began its mission, there were over 25,000 individuals killed as a result of drunk driving, impaired driving, I should say. That went down considerably prior to the pandemic. So 2018, 2019, we were still losing 10,000. but it was 10,000 and was gone down from the 25,000. Now we're over 11,006, as I mentioned. Less drivers on the road during the pandemic years, more deaths, less vehicles traveled, more deaths, more crashes, more hazardous driving, more impaired driving.
What kind of services, or before we even talk about the services, let's talk about education, okay? What kind of education is out there for teens, okay? You're starting to learn how to drive at age 16, and most people in high school at that age start to go through that. There are classes that you have to go through. It's not just passing a test, getting a permit, and then passing your driver's test. There's a lot of education that goes into it, and a lot of it is geared toward alcohol education. So here we are going into 2023, getting the year started. What kind of education is out there today for new drivers?
Yeah, what we have available free of charge, and I'm going to say it once again, free of charge to schools, to youth organizations, community groups. We have three programs. One's just coming in 2023 will be introduced. I'll talk about that last. But initially, we have Power of Youth programs that begin in the middle school and above. So even prior to you going for your license, there's education to talk about, empowering yourself to make the right decision. Don't get in a vehicle if you believe someone has been drinking or drugging. That can be a peer, or it can be a parent, or it can be a guardian, or it could be someone's parent. If they've been drinking and you notice this, don't get in the vehicle and empower your, we're trying to empower, make that decision to say no, basically. And then we have for parents, Power of Parents. How do you speak to your children about the dangers associated with, number one, underage drinking, and number two, once you're able to drive, the fact that you shouldn't be drinking or drugging and then driving. So that's what we've had ongoing for many years. In 2023, we've created a program called Power of Me, and it's geared for third to fifth graders, so the 8 to 10 year old age bracket. And statistics have showed, and doctors and analysts have said, you need to get to younger children. It's got to be before they get to the age of 12, where unfortunately too many are now drinking and drugging. We hear those horror stories all the time. So the education is there. It's available. We have it. We have created it virtually. So if you don't want us in your classroom or at your youth organization, whether there's still the COVID pandemic, over people's heads, and you don't want strangers coming in, we'll provide it to you free of charge virtually. And we do this throughout New England. So if someone in Maine would like, a virtual program, we can provide that to them, once again, free of charge, because we receive donations from corporations and individuals throughout the year. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we rely solely on the generosity of the community.
You mentioned in there that parents have to have the conversation with kids, and maybe a parent is nervous. So what are tips that Mad might give a mother or a father or both parents who are willing now to sit down with their teenage child, or even before teens? You mentioned 12 and so forth, early preteen ages. What are some tips and ways that they could approach those kinds of difficult, maybe, conversations?
Yeah, first and foremost, parents, including myself, we need to understand that even though oftentimes and most times our children don't listen to us, or you don't think they're listening to us, they're watching. And 75% of what you do, they're taking that in. So if you're doing something that you're telling them not to do, then that's not gonna be the transparency you need. You need to be upfront. You need to be able to talk to them, even if you have, majority of people probably have done something in their lives where they wish they had not done. You need to be transparent. You can't hide the fact that, okay, if you drank when you were in high school, you need to talk about that, but you need to tell them now more information is available. And as a result, the dangers are front you know, front-facing more than ever before. We didn't understand that the human brain doesn't form fully until you're 25 or older. So, you know, including alcohol, I'm not saying daily, but, you know, whether it's binge drinking or what have you, that's affecting your brain. That's going to be with you in some fashion throughout your lifetime. I think the most critical thing is, you know, say what you mean what you say, and don't do what you don't want your children to do, because once again, they're watching you, whether they're your teenage daughters and they're not listening to you and they're fighting you every step of the way. They're still watching what you're doing because they still feel you're the adult and they need to watch you and emulate what you're doing, even though they're not agreeing with you on a daily basis. So keep that in mind. You know, I remember my daughter when she was younger, 5 or 6, I was drinking a bottle of water and she said, "Daddy, you can't drink and drive." So at least at that age, she got the message. You know, obviously it wasn't the proper message, but she got the message that you shouldn't drink and drive and the reasons behind that. So I think you have to be straightforward and talk about the dangers. You know, unfortunately, younger people are going to drink. They just shouldn't drive and they shouldn't get in a vehicle driven by others. Nowadays, with Uber and Lyft, we've seen a reduction of about 48% in fatal crashes as a result of our fatalities as a result of people making that right decision. And once again, we're not against the consumption of alcohol if you're above the legal age, but make the right decision not to drive home. Have a plan. If you have a plan to go out, well, you're going to have some drinks. You never know the combination of any over-the-counter medication, any prescribed medication, and the alcohol you may take in or the drugs you may be taking. So, we're not pharmacists. We don't know what this breaks down to be. But we have to remember that there is a safer way of getting from point A to point B. There's no longer an excuse not to call a rideshare or a friend, or have a designated driver.
Have you ever heard a story from maybe a teen about a parent who is, unfortunately, an alcoholic, and that's inspired them not to turn out that way, or a parent that has unfortunately had an accident because they were drinking and driving? In other words, they're a role model, but not intentionally.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. About 6 months ago, I did get a call from one of the other New England states, and the individual wanted to do some community service, and they chose MAD. And they didn't have to do community service because they were drinking and driving or they were impaired. They were using a cell phone, and they got pulled over, and then they had to do community service. But the reason he chose MAD was, he said, "I can't tell you how many times I was frightened. I couldn't say anything. I was in the back seat of our car. My parents were both drunk, and they were driving us home or driving us here or there." He said, I knew it was wrong. I couldn't say anything. I mean, I tried to say things, but they didn't listen. But I don't want that to happen to another child.
What about volunteers, right? You get people who are moved one reason or another, and they want to help out with MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And by the way, this morning, anyone joining us, we're speaking with Bob Gargiulo, the executive director of MAD's New England region. Bob, how do people get involved in spreading the word against drunk driving?
We have a number of opportunities for volunteers. You simply can go to the website. It's madmadd.org/CT, and that'll bring you to the site in Connecticut, and you'll have volunteer opportunities. You can send an email to our office, and someone will respond in a timely manner. And you know, we have events that we have going on. We do a number of walks during the course of the year. We do a golf tournament. We're going to do a comedy show this coming year as well. You know, they're fundraisers, but they're also awareness vehicles. So we need to spread the word. It's something that we continually need to do so it resonates. And I'm going to tell you a story that a sheriff from Oklahoma that I had the pleasure of meeting a number of years ago told a story about him responding to a call of a drunk driving crash. And when he got to the call, he was asked to sit in the ambulance. An officer had been injured in the crash, and would you sit with him? And he's not in danger, but we still got to take him for observation. As he was sitting in the back of the ambulance, a baby wrapped in a blanket, deceased baby, was put in the ambulance. And when the wrecker came and pulled the car out of the ditch, it was his car. It was his wife's car. His wife was deceased under the car. The two-year-old in the ambulance was his daughter. So he talks about how you have to, you know, dance in the rain to get through life, to be able to withstand something like that, overcome something like that. But he also talks about, you know, I believe in the year 2017, 2018, there were two horrific airline crashes that killed 346 individuals. The 737 MAX jets were grounded worldwide. And there were no more crashes. There were no more deaths because they grounded the jets. So there were congressional hearings. There was an expert panel to identify the issues and prevent future crashes. And in the 554 days since that second crash and those jets were grounded, 60,940 people were killed in traffic crashes in the United States. Of those, 16,600 died by an impaired driver. There were no congressional hearings. There was no expert panel. There was no media, and there was no outrage, frankly. So it's something, it's like a way of life that we just expect every 45 minutes someone to be killed. And these are innocent people dying too, not just the offenders who are drinking and driving. They're killing innocent people, men, women, and children, moms and dads, grandparents. And we're trying in Connecticut, we hope to have put into legislation a review in 2023. It's a new law called Bentley's Law. It was enacted in Tennessee. It was brought about by a grandmother in Missouri who lost her daughter, son-in-law, and their four-month-old child. And she was left to bring up the two younger children, both under the age of 10. And there's a cost associated with that. As all of us know, when you have children, there's a cost associated with their upcare and their care and upbringing. So Bentley's Law would provide stipulation that if an offender kills a mom, dad, or guardian, the caregiver for a child 18 or under, they will pay child support. So we're pushing that. We're going to push that in all of New England, and we've got legislators in Connecticut and Rhode Island and Massachusetts and Vermont and Maine already on board. We hope it'll get into law, be enacted into law. It's something we have to continually do. We have to lead the charge because, once again, people just believe this is a rite of passage. But it's really serious. I drive totally different than I probably did before taking this job because of the horrific stories we see time and time again, all too often, in Connecticut, in New England, and around the country.
Bob, what can you tell us about technology to stop drunk drivers? I believe that come 2026, the HALT Act will be in place, correct? And that has something to do with stopping drunk drivers in the car if they were to get behind the wheel.
Yeah, that right now is it's been signed into law. President Biden signed that last year. It's called the HALT Act. It was signed into law as part of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So the law will give the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 3 years, so effective last year, to establish an auto safety standard for all new cars that detects and prevents impaired driving. So the auto industry is going to be has been mandated that this will need to be placed into every new car. Not saying they're still not fighting it, but it's mandated. And quite honestly, this technology has been available for 14 or 15 years. It's been in the newer cars. They've never flicked the switch. They didn't flick the switch because if it wasn't mandated across the board, they didn't want to be the first manufacturer to take that chance that it would turn people away because of the minimal cost it may cause, above and beyond what a typical car would be if it's going to be $200 more a car. What we're fighting for is we don't want it to be an additional charge. We want it to be just like a seatbelt, just like airbags. It's another technology. It's technology that will save lives. So once again, in 14 and 15 years where we've lost 150,000 people, you know, once again, they didn't make the right decision then. Now it's mandated they have to do it. We have to continually push our legislators, our senators, our congressmen and women, and we have to push NHTSA to get this language written and get these cars to come off the assembly line with this technology. And once again, now this is only new cars. So anyone having a car prior to these first cars coming off the assembly line, you know, it's going to take a while for those cars to be off the road and then all these new cars with this technology built into it. But the insurance industry has come out and said that 95% of the deaths that we now realize will go away with this technology. And it's passive. It's not blowing into like an IID ignition interlock device. It's nothing like that. It's something that will capture not only impaired drivers, but it'll capture if you're distracted, whether you're whatever. I've seen people eating. I've seen people doing their makeup. If you're looking down too many times or you're looking side to side too many times, it's going to shut your car down. The car will pull over safely and shut down. And like I said, it's going to save lives. We're pushing it. We want to make sure that it's done within the 3 years that we've been allotted. We don't want any extensions. And once again, the technology already does exist. It's not something that they have to create. And it's just the language that they have to write that will be acceptable for all parties.
Bob Gargiulo is the executive director for the New England region of MADD. That's MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Bob, I'm sorry we're running out of time, but is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I want to wish everyone a happy 2023. We want you to enjoy life. And I anytime I have the opportunity to speak in public, you know, I just want you all to know that MAD has never been against alcohol. You know, we've got, unfortunately, sometimes the industry has reacted negatively to what we're trying to accomplish, but we're not against people enjoying their life and doing it safely. We just don't want to prevent any more deaths as a result. So enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Share it with family and friends. That's what we're here for. Just don't make the wrong decision and get behind the motor vehicle. But, you know, safety first. Enjoy life. Thank you for the time, Morgan.
Bob, thank you, and we'll be happy to talk with you again, get another update down the line, okay?
We appreciate that. The more the better.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.